they operate, but we also want to see them in operation through Scripture. So it may take a little while to do that. Now, I told you last week, and if you take notes, especially on stuff like this, is good, because if I didn't have my notes, I don't even know if I can remember all of this, you know, because like I said, it's quite a bit. So I told you last week, there's 9 gifts of the Spirit. They're listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you want to go ahead and turn over, you can, because we're going to read this since it's our text chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be starting in verse 1. But I told you last week, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. And they break down, just for teaching's sake, break them down into categories of 3. So let's read this chapter right quick. Verse 1. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I was telling Scotty the other day, I don't remember ever being in a service the whole 8 years that I was there. And listen, I know people teach on what they're led to, or preach on what they're led to preach on, or whatever. But I can't ever remember being in a service where somebody taught on the gift of the Spirit. Ever. I've been saved for 20-something, about 26 years, and I have never been in a service where somebody took the 9 gifts of the Spirit and they broke them down and they taught on them. Well, he starts this chapter out. He says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. How many knows anything you don't know about, you have ignorance concern? And the devil can take advantage of what you don't know. He'll play on that stuff, what you don't know. So, God, I've never taught on this either, except for one other time. And, I mean, I try to always be led of the Lord when I do this, and I didn't know we was going to go this direction. But what I know, whatever he tells us to preach or teach on in a service or whatever, the reason, one of the reasons why he does it is so we're not ignorant of it, but then also because he wants us to operate in that, whatever that it is. Like if you're going through a trial or whatever, and pastor will preach on or I'll teach on or whatever, how to overcome trials. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So just this teaching in itself tells me God wants these gifts to operate in this house. Why? He wants everybody to be built up. He wants everybody to be edified. He wants everybody to be healed, right? And that's what these gifts do when they're operated right. At the end of this, what we get through reading here, I think in verse 11 or 12 or whatever, he says that it profit with all. Why? It's a benefit to all if they're operated right. Now, verse 1. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brother, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. He says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, we know that you can take anybody off the street. I'll give you $20, $100 if you'll say Jesus is Lord, and they'll say it. What he's saying here is basically, we know that whenever these gifts are in operation, they're not going to draw attention to the person. They're not going to say, look at me, or what. They're going to be lifting up Jesus, building him up, and all of that stuff, and building up the body. He goes on and he says, verse 4, he says, now there are diversities or gifts, or we would say it differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, that where it says there's differences of administration, but the same Lord, just like this. Moses had a staff. Y'all remember that? God worked through him using that staff a lot of times. What did he tell him whenever he wanted the Red Sea part? He said, stretch forth thy rod, or your staff, whatever, right? So in the working of miracles, he stretched it forth and God did a miracle. Well, there's other people today that have these gifts, and you'll see certain things operate in their ministry, or they'll use certain things, just like the Apostle Paul. At one time, it said God did special miracles, and it says that they put handkerchiefs, right, went out from his body. They sent them out to people, and demons left them. They was healed. These are special miracles and differences of operations. God don't operate everybody that using a staff. God don't operate with everybody using handkerchiefs or whatever. He goes on and he says, verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Why did I say all of that? Because of this, what he just said. Somebody might say, well, if you don't have a staff, back, especially back in those days, we normally don't say that today. If you don't have a staff, well, it can't be God doing it. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever seen somebody that operated, for an example, this would be modern day thing. Have you ever read or seen, especially the old time on TV or whatever, they'll show little clips or whatever, and sometimes they will punch somebody in the stomach. Y'all seen that before or heard that before? And I've heard people say, there's no way that's God. Well, how can you say, how can you tell how God will operate? It didn't hurt the person. They're not actually punching the person, but they're punching the demon or the tumor or whatever, and it dries up, it leaves, it goes away. Y'all get real quiet. That tells me that we don't know some of these things. But that's good, because we're learning, right? Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? To profit withal. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now, I told you last week, it's just a word about something. God's not going to tell you all the wisdom that he has about a thing. It's just a word about it or whatever. It says, what verse are we at? 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. And I told you this is different faith than what every Christian has. This is the gift of faith. This is one of those not come by hearing and hearing by the word of God faith. This is a gift that when it gets turned on, that in operation, that it's like you can't doubt it if you try. Now, verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing, and it should be gifts of healings. When you begin to study that out, why? Because it's not one kind of healing. But you will see at times, God uses some people, say, for an example, diabetes. He'll use a person to where he'll operate to where that is pretty much their dominant gift, operates and heals diabetes. Where they could pray for a headache or whatever, and nothing really happens. But then there are others that God will use them in that gift or whatever to where heals all kinds of diseases and things. What, 10? To another, the working of miracles. The reason why this is working of miracles is because whoever has this gift is going to have to work with whatever God tells them. Just like rolling back the Red Sea. That is an absolute miracle. But what did God do? He said, stretch forth your rod or your staff. If he had not have done that, the Red Sea would have not have rolled back. But it wasn't the staff or the rod that rolled back the Red Sea. It was God. So whoever has this gift, you're going to work with God to bring about a miracle. It says, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirit. I've said this before, and I have to say it again. You'll hear some people say, you know, I have the gift of discernment. There's no such thing. They don't know what they're talking about. That's not scripturally in the Bible. This gift here, it sees and hears into the spirit realm. Discerning of spirits, to another divers, or we would say it, different kinds of tongues. It says, to another, the interpretation of tongues. He says, but all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, I told you, these break down into, there's nine of them, we break them down into categories of three together. There's three that reveal something, or we could call these revelational gifts, something's revealed. That would be the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Now, the word of knowledge deals with the past and the right now, the past and the present. The word of wisdom, let me see how I got this written down, the definition of this. The word of wisdom is supernatural revelation of the mind and purpose of God communicated by the Holy Spirit. And these all are nothing that you could just do on your own. Just like the word of knowledge, it's a word of knowledge about someone or something or whatever, that it's no way that you could know it by yourself. You didn't learn it, nobody told it to you, you didn't see it. It's just a supernatural word from God. Now, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom deals with future. And discerning of spirits, it deals with the spirit realm. Just like this. The Bible says God is a spirit, and no man has ever seen God and live, the Bible says. Jesus is a spirit. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, right? If you see him, this gift was in operation. If you saw a demon manifested, I'm not talking about manifesting a person. I'm talking about you saw a demon. You have this gift in operation, discerning of spirit. When you're hearing in the spirit realm, this gift is in operation. Now, the next ones is prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretations of tongues. These three say something, or we could call them the utterance gifts. There's three more. It says we could call these the power gifts if you wanted to. Why? Because the power of God is released in these three. The working of miracles, the gift of faith, and the gift of healings. I've got two notebooks going up here and about 10 pages of notes and scriptures. Where do you want to go here? I guess we'll deal with the first one, the word of knowledge and wisdom, discernment, and spirit. Now, we started to look last week at, what was it? Acts 9, that one we left off with last week. Do y'all remember? See why I recap a little bit? I don't remember where that was. I've been studying these all week. But Acts chapter 9, and we're going to read, I believe it's 1 through 19. Zach, you can put it up there on the screen for everybody. We're going to see some of these gifts in operation. And a lot of times when you read the scriptures or even when you see these gifts in operation, you'll see more than one in operation at a time. It's kind of like Rondé. Now, he has truly the gifts of an evangelist. When you begin to study it out, an apostle has certain gifts that go along with his ministry. An evangelist has certain gifts that go along with their ministry. A teacher, that's talking about five-fold ministry. A teacher has certain things, the gifts that goes along with their ministry. Listen, if you're called to teach, but you can't teach, you're not called. Why do I say that? Because you'll hear people say, well, I have this gift, or I'm called to do this, but when there's no anointing on it, I'm sorry, but you're not. That's just like this. I mean, I could say I'm a teacher all day long, but kind of like the world says, the proof is in the pudding. When I get up to teach, if there's not any anointing, if there's not any revelation, if nothing is coming, then it's not there. I need to just quit, regroup, and go back and say, oh, Lord, what was it you said again now? I mean, seriously, because you'll have people that they'll say, I've had this happen before, and people tell me that they've had it happen to them before. Somebody tell them, well, you got a gift of so-and-so, or you're called to do this. Kind of like I said last week, you know, somebody will prophesy, you know, well, so-and-so's supposed to be married, and y'all supposed to go start a missions to Honduras. Well, they don't even know each other, don't even like each other. But because the prophet said, they get married, they go off to Honduras, their life is a mess. We can't just be listening to everybody that says, thus saith the Lord, or somebody that says, I've got a gift, right? And there's people who says, you know, I'm called to do this, that, or another. But whenever you do it, there should be something in operation. There should be an anointing that you carry for that office. Like I said, in evangelism, Rondé, he is the perfect example of a true call, God call evangelist. If you'll notice the word of wisdom, sometimes he'll be like this. He'll just look out and he'll say, brother, can I pray for you? And you come up here and he'll say, by the word of knowledge, you got this wrong with you. By the word of wisdom, God's going to do this and it's going to feel like this and this is going to happen. That's you and you fall out. Because most of the time, lost people don't want to go hear nobody preach. But they'll run if they might get healed or a word of knowledge. If you'll notice, Rondé, every one of his messages brings you about to the same thing at the very end, and it is salvation or baptism of the Holy Ghost. Y'all ain't never noticed that? Yeah, why? Because he is a true God-called evangelist. Acts chapter 9. y'all grow and develop and learn how to operate in some of these things and realize when it's God leading us and different things like that. So I'm not saying, you know, if you're not perfect in operation of all this stuff, it's not God. I'm not saying that at all. But here in Acts chapter 9, we're going to start reading verse 1. Now this is Saul whenever he's converted. No, after he's converted. It says, and Saul, well, no, I don't want to start in verse 1, I don't think. Well, I got it right now, verse 1. I can see here. Nah, for time's sake, we won't go there. We'll start it in verse 10. Now, Saul has already been converted. He's born again. He's now Paul. We're going to pick it up in verse 10. And it says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Notice he said disciple. He's not a five-fold ministry or anything like that. He's just a disciple. So these gifts can operate for anybody. And God gives them to all of us, at least one. It says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord, notice how, in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Now this is the word of knowledge in operation. Why would this be the word of knowledge? Y'all remember? Word of knowledge deals with right now and past. And he's telling him, he's over at this, go to the street called Straight, and he's praying. Right now he's praying. You go on here, and he says, verse 12, and has seen in a vision, this is past, he's already seen it, a man named Ananias coming, this is the word of knowledge, and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Because remember, Paul is blind right now. And it says, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a, now notice this, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. What would this be? This would be the word of wisdom. Why? Because I told you the word of wisdom deals with, it says, supernatural revelation of the mind and purpose of God communicated by the Holy Spirit. And he tells him here what this man, what he's called him to do. This is all present right here, right? And it says, let me read it again. It says, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now, this is, would be the word of wisdom. He says, for I will show him great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Word of wisdom again. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which was there at Damascus. Now see, just in this one thing right here, you've got the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom all in operation in that right there. Now, let's see. Okay. And we read this one last week, but let's read it again. Go over to John chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. Now, I've told you before that they had all the gifts of the Spirit in operation except for tongues and interpretation of tongues. That started in Acts chapter 2. That was specifically for the church. God added that when the church started. But they had all the other gifts of the Spirit in operation. Jesus himself was the walking ministry. He operated in every one of these gifts that was in the Old Testament. But here in John chapter 4, we're going to see just a simple word of knowledge in operation. Let's see. Where we want to start. I said 1 through 19, but we're not going to read that whole thing. Okay. he tells her to give him something to drink and all of that stuff. And then you go on down to, I guess we'll just say 13. It says, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come here. He don't know this woman. The Samaritans and the Jews, they had nothing to do with each other. It was kind of like modern-day racism going on. He didn't know her. She comes there to draw water. He's not from there, but he's sitting at the well resting. And why does he say that? How does he say that? How does he know whether she's got a husband or not? Oh, he's Jesus. He knows everything. No, he didn't. Right? He said that he had to operate just like we have to operate. Or it would be unjust, right? He got this by the word of knowledge. And let's go on and see what he says. Go call thy husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, still not through yet, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. So this is the past, right? Word of knowledge deals with right now and the past. It says, For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Now, this is not prophecy. This is called the word of knowledge. A lot of times I had made this mistake. Because I was ignorant, I hadn't been taught, I didn't know. Anything that I would hear that would be like the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom, whatever, I would link it all, lump it all together, and think it was prophecy. But that's not prophecy. According to scripture over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, just the simple gift of prophecy with nothing added to it is what? Speaking unto men to exhortation, edification, and comfort. Ain't a bit of foretelling of events, ain't a bit of word of knowledge in that. Nothing. That's just the simple gift of prophecy. But here, this is the word of knowledge and operation. Now, let's look at let's see what we got next. Discerning the spirits in that group. Miss Note Taker? Yeah. Okay. Right, this will be discerning of spirit. This gift gives insight into the spirit realm. It sees and it hears in the spirit realm. Let's go over to Acts 10. I don't know everything that there is to know about all these gifts. Some of these I know very, very little about. I've did much study about this subject and these gifts and things. I've read books. I've listened to other people preaching on the subject or whatever, but by no means is this going to be an, what would you call it? What is it, full study of these things. This is just to get you going on your own study of these things. Now, what did I say, Acts 10? We're going to read that, that 1 through 6. This is the story of Cornelius. It says, There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Now he's seeing and he's hearing a spirit, right? Over into the spirit realm. This is discerning of spirits. If you see an angel in an angel form, this gift is in operation. Like I said, if you see a demon in the form of a demon, this gift is in operation. Without it, you won't see and you won't hear. He goes on and he says, verse 4, And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now look at Acts 7. This one you'll be able to see it very well. This one is plain as day. It's going to be Acts chapter 7. I think we're going to read 54 through 60. That it says when. Now let me back up just a little bit. This is the story about Stephen. Stephen, he wasn't. He was a box tailor. I remember the story about him, right? He got picked. They told him, you know, because they're griping, because their women are not being fed through the daily distribution of food. You know, they're griping about it. And the apostles tell him, you know, go pick out seven men full of the Holy Ghost from among y'all to distribute this food. So we don't have to quit preaching the gospel to go do that. Y'all remember? Okay, Stephen's one of the ones that got picked. Well, whenever this started happening, Stephen stood up and he started preaching. And when he started preaching, I mean, they got upset. Now that's where we're going to pick it up. Verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, the preaching he was doing to them, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. You know what that means? They started biting on the man. I mean, like a bunch of wild dogs or something. Because they were so mad. And they gnashed on him with their teeth, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. Saw what? And this ain't just looking up into the clouds. He is literally seeing into heaven. It says, in, let's see, and said, well, let me go back to 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. This is the only place you ever read where it says Jesus was standing. Every other place, he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. It says, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now this is the same Saul that became Paul later. It says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now to me, this is plain as day, discerning the spirit. He saw the heavens open. He saw the glory of God. He saw heaven. He saw Jesus himself. Saw him standing there at the right hand of the Father. What is this? This is discerning of spirits in operation. This is not no gift of discernment. You know, some people, they say that stuff and they'll be like, I have a gift of discernment. And what they do is they run around discerning everything bad about somebody. How many knows that's not God? God's not looking for somebody to point out all your faults to you. He knows what they are, and if he wanted them pointed out, he could. And so every now and then, I mean, he may tell somebody something else. But that's what usually what people that say they have that gift, which is no gift whatsoever. I mean, I can be lost and see people's faults. I don't have to have a gift to do that. But this here is discerning of spirits in operation. And there's more. I'm trying to do at least one or two of each one of these so we can see them in operation. Now the Bible says, go over to 1 Corinthians 14. You know, and some people, they're just kind of like, well, why do we need to know all of that, you know? Well, for one thing, God devoted, in his word, he took up at least 3 chapters talking about this subject. I would think if you take up at least three, there's more than that too, but at least 3 chapters back to back of something, I would say it's pretty important to God, wouldn't you? There's people that they're like, well, we don't need all that, you know. Well, I'll let somebody else do that. No, you're not supposed to let somebody else do that. Because see, the thing about it is, sometimes we get so caught up in living natural, everyday life here to where we go to work, we come home, we cook supper, we wash clothes, you know, we take care of kids, all this stuff that we have to do every day. And God is all in that, and he anoints us for those certain things that we have to do. He anoints mothers to be mothers. He anoints fathers to be fathers, you know. People got to go to work. People got to clean and do all this stuff. But if we're not careful, the devil will use this stuff to where we're just living natural, mundane lives. And that is not what we're called to do. We have an anointing to take care of all that stuff that we have to take care of. But how many know we are supposed to be living Book of Acts life right now, today, every single born-again believer? Thank y'all for that wonderful amen. Hallelujah, sister. If we're not living Book of Acts, I'm not saying you got to be seeing an angel every second of the day. They didn't see an angel every second of the day. But most of the time, we're so carnal, just thinking about natural things all the time, that God would have to use a trumpet blast to even get us to hear when he wants to do something. And how many of us, that's not right. That's not the way we're supposed to live. You know, and I've heard people say, and we went over the scriptures here a while back about some of this, you know, and people say, well, you know, that's not for today. God just did all that stuff in the Book of Acts to get the church started. Honey, the Book of Acts has never stopped. We are the Book of Acts of today. And if somebody was reading our book, they might say, whoo, that was good in the beginning, but that latter part sure is getting kind of boring. I don't know about y'all, but Scotty, he likes love stories. Wouldn't you know it? Oh, give him a good love story. We can just mush all over there and he's happy. I don't like love stories. I can't stand love stories. I want to blow something up. I want something racing. I want something on fire. I want, give me some action. Love story. So we don't want, I control the remote. We don't watch much of his stuff at the house. Why am I saying that? I don't like boring. I don't like mundane. And do you know God don't either? Look at the varieties of people he has made. With all their differences, skin color, languages, hair color. I mean, I got a nephew, he's got two different color eyes. One of them's green and the other one is blue. God loves variety. You know, people say, well, God likes this kind of music. No, he don't. He likes all kinds of music if he's in it. He's like me, I'm like him. I like all kinds of music. Certain ones. Certain songs. I didn't say I like every song of every kind of music. we might get in some of y'all's car and he might not like some of that that's up on. Y'all laughing. I didn't say it was a sin. I just said he might not like it. I might not like it. Scotty, I used to get crucified all the time for certain things. We got saved. He was one of them. He got what was called a man's haircut later. He had long hair when we got saved. But then he got what's called a man's haircut and he parted over onto the side. You notice now he has what they call a Pentecostal. You just spray it down real good and all that. So he was like hymn books and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm like Christian rap. Give me some speakers that my mirrors are vibrating. That's what I like. Now the Lord is all in it, but it's just got some boom to the boom boom to it. He likes that. Did y'all know that? He really likes that. Granny and Mama got in the truck one day with me. I had a big four-wheel drive Dodge, and they got in the truck, and they had me some, what was them speakers? I can't even think of the name of them. It was in the back seat. Audiobon, yeah. And I had me a rock from Fosgate under my front seat and all that, and they got in there, and I turned it on. I turned it on and I kicked the amp in and it was boom, did boom, boom. They're going, what is that duck? God loves that. God likes it. He's all into that too. He likes that. Mama said, God likes variety, but what do we try to do a lot of times if we're not careful? Make him fit into our little box. Well, I don't understand that, so just do away with that. Well, you know what, honey? If compared to God, there's a lot we do not understand. So I need scripture to keep me knowing what is really him and what is not him, because a lot of times if I let him, he'll work out of my box, and I'll be like, but, Sandy, I go start to research and look at it. Oh, there, he did that before just like that. If I can't find it, I'll be, yeah. But what I have to be careful about doing is just because I don't know something or I don't understand something, say, that can't be God, or God wouldn't do that. He'll do a lot more than what I know about. He'll do a lot more than what you know about. Now, over here in, wanted you to see something. Chapter 14, verse 1, he says, follow after charity, which we would say today love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, what did he say? Desire spiritual gifts. How many Christians do you know that they rather desire spiritual gifts than eat when they're hungry? He even uses the word habit. This is the only place he tells us. Every other place you read the word habit, it is a no-no, don't do it. Right? But he uses the word habit. Why? Because he's trying to tell us how strongly to desire these gifts. Why? He wants in our realm. But he has to use people. I mean, just like this. Say you're believing God, you need $100 or whatever. God's not up there printing money, United States currency. Don't send it down out of heaven. Well, what do I think? God's going to use a person here in the earth that has $100 to come up and give me $100, mail me $100, somehow to get me $100, right? And listen, God has set things up. And this makes me feel sorry for the people that they're like, me and Jesus got it all going on. No, I don't feel deserved. No, that's, a bunch of stuff like that or whatever. Because God has set this thing up to where I need you and you need me. And there's a lot I'm not going to get if I won't get you. And there's a lot you're not going to get if you don't get me. It's kind of like a guy I listen to. He says, everybody's got a treasure and everybody's got a field. And if you want the treasure, you got to take the field. Now, most people don't care for my field. But if you know me like Scotty does and you get through all of this field here, there is treasure in there, ain't there? Yeah. Good treasure, he says. That's why he's still married after 35 years in the Lord company. But God set it up to where we need each other. He works through every one of us in different ways at different times. That's why I say you're not going to, without you hooking up and fellowshipping with the body of Christ, you ain't going to get everything that you need to get. You're going to be deficient. You're going to be lacking. And a lot of stuff. But he says desire spiritual gifts. One place, like I said, he says covet. I heard a guy say it this way. He said, when you want the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, like you want another breath when somebody's holding your hand under the water, you'll get it. But the reason why he says desire, go walk it. Listen, and he says, follow after love. Why? Because he's telling us this is the spirit these things are operated in and through. Not another spirit. In love. Right? The Bible talks about speaking the truth to one another. How? In love. Why? Because sometimes you can get these things and they're happening or whatever and you misuse them and you mistreat people and that's not right and God's not into that and they will stop. Kind of like this. God most of the time uses me in word of knowledge more than anything else. And I didn't even know all of this stuff or whatever. And there's been a lot of things that I've heard or whatever. Anyway, I'm just praying one day. And I'm not praying about, I had a brother-in-law. He's not my brother-in-law anymore, and I'm not going to call his name or anything. But at this time, I had a brother-in-law. And I'm praying, and I'm not praying about him or anything like that. I'm praying about something totally else. And all of a sudden, I heard this. He called his name and said, he's not tithing.
What in the world? What are you telling me about that? What's that got to do?
I mean, I'm a baby Christian. I don't know nothing about no gift. I don't know nothing. I know that was God. Now, this is called the word of knowledge. Why? Because it's dealing with right now and the past. Now, why is he telling me this? See, the reason why I'm telling you this is because every time God tells you something, shows you, you don't always have to run off and tell the person about it. I didn't know what to do with this. I told Scotty about it, Number one, I was excited to hear God. I didn't know what I should do with it. So I just prayed for my brother-in-law. Just prayed for him, and everything. Went on about my business. 2 weeks goes by. He comes to the house. Him and Scotty's outside talking. And he starts telling Scotty how he hadn't He had tithed before, but he had quit. Something had come up, and he hadn't been tithed. He said, but I'm going to start back. I didn't have to do anything. All God was wanting, the reason why God's wanting me to know, why? He wants to give reinforcement to him. Why? God wants him tithing because there's a laws in tithing, and God wants him operated in his life. But he just needs some reinforcement, needs somebody praying for him. Why? God don't just come in the earth and just do everything he wants done. Do y'all understand we're his representatives? He tells us things so we can pray or he can get something done or something like that. But what'd he say? I don't do anything lest I tell my prophets about it. Right? Remember when he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? What'd he do? He went to Abraham and he told Abraham about it. He didn't have to tell nobody. That's how God works. And he told Abraham about it. And Abraham, y'all remember the story? He asked him, you know, if I can, you know, let me ask you this, you know, will you not destroy it for 10? What did he start at, with 50 or something like that? He says, whatever it was, he said, no, I won't destroy it for that many righteous people in there or whatever, or for the sake of that many people. Anyway, he gets on down to 10. I guess he thought, surely there's 10 righteous people down there in that city, but they wasn't but one. Anyway, he gets down to 10. He says, okay, he says, for 10, I won't destroy it. Why am I saying this? Because God, we lose him or we buy him. I know that might be hard for you to understand or to see, because God is so big and God can do so, so much. But he's bound himself to his word, and he set up laws and he set up principles, and he won't go past them. Never. Just like this. He'll deal with me, and if I don't want to get saved and I don't want to change or nothing, he'll love me all the way to hell, but he never sent me that. He did everything he could to get me not to go, but he didn't make me not go. Why? Because he's bound himself to his word. He operates in certain ways. He wants cooperation with me and you here in this earth to get his will done. Because why did God create us to start with? He's got heaven. He created all of this and put me and you down here and expecting us to colonize this. And when Jesus taught him to pray, what did he say? Pray this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. We're here to the earth. Who brings it? We do. That was his full intention when he created us, to bring heaven down here and we rule and reign it in his name in this earth. He's still doing the same thing today. That's why he wants these gifts in operation in our lives. Why? So I can be a help to Doris. I can be a help to Monty. Sandy can be a help to me. We can all benefit. We can all profit. Right? Oh my. Now he says there, he says, follow after love. I heard a lady. I heard a lady one time. God used her a lot of times. Used her husband a lot in the word of wisdom. And if y'all notice, Rondé, when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, the Holy Spirit's moving, he'll call you out. Sister, can I pray for you? Brother, can I pray for you? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But then if you'll notice, once the gifts stop moving, you can go up and ask him to pray for you, and he will, but it's like dead as a doornail, nothing happens. Because when the Spirit's moving is when you need to move. And he can't dictate what happens. If he's not telling me nothing about a headache, then I can't do nothing about a headache. But anyway, he says, I heard a story about a lady. Just so y'all know, because God uses different people in different ways. That's why he says there's different of administration. I heard a story about this lady. God would use her a lot in the word of knowledge or whatever. She said, and she would just look out across the audience, and somebody would just kind of like capture her attention or whatever. Say, Shannon. All of a sudden, you know, just I'm looking out, Shannon, and all of a sudden, I feel the love of God. I don't know nothing about him. God ain't told me nothing. And she would say, I would just sense the love of, what's he say? Follow after love. And say, brother, can I pray for you? He starts coming. She just wouldn't have nothing about the person or anything like that. He's coming, you know, and she still did. She come down. She would start to pray for the person or whatever. The word of knowledge would begin to operate. But what was that? She follows the love. Now, does he do it that way with everybody? No. But I'm just telling you, if that begins to happen or whatever, and you sense the love of God going out towards somebody, God wants to do something for that person, and he wants to use you to do it. Regardless of whatever gift he might use at the time. I got to stop because we're actually a little bit. Does anybody have any questions or